Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
The birth of the first child, the adoption of the first child, those things made it abundantly clear that there was just a huge, big, gaping hole in objectivist theory and in libertarian theory.
When Jesus becomes the means to an end in my thinking and my theology, this turns Jesus from a person into a vitamin.
For getting up there to preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, if that is truly why we're speaking, then Law and Gospel is how that happens.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues, etc.
I have to admit that I'm a little surprised. I'm not stunned, but I am a little surprised. Mark Driscoll was holding out. He was holding out under the kind of pressure that many pastors would have folded under long ago. I mean, big public pressure. Former pastors, former elders, former parishioners, all calling for him to step down and leave Mars Hill, Seattle, the center of kind of a small church empire that over the last 18 years, one might argue Mark Driscoll has built by force of personality. He thinks it's, you know, building the kingdom of God, but the question remains whether or not what was built by Mark Driscoll in Mars Hill can survive Mark Driscoll's resignation as pastor from that church. And that's precisely what he's done in a letter penned yesterday and reported today. Mark Driscoll has resigned from Mars Hill, Seattle. We're going to be talking about that here in this hour of Issues, Etc. with Chris Rosebow, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks for tuning us in on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit later, Scott Murray will join us. We're going to talk with him about a city attorney in Houston, Texas, where Pastor Murray is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church down there. He has subpoenaed sermons preached by local pastors opposed to an equal rights ordinance. Not all pastors, but some pastors. And we'll see what Pastor Scott Murray has to say about that in about 20 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or for our beloved on-demand listeners, you want to comment, question, whenever you're listening, the comment line is always open, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Chris Rosebrough is a regular guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Are you surprised at Driscoll's resignation?
Yeah, actually, I am surprised because all the indicators were that you know, and even from people I've talked to, you know, who have inside information, up to last week, the intent was for him to get a public, you know, slap on the wrist, but continue to be the pastor of Mars Hill Church. So, the information that I had been getting from people inside, you know, kind of led me to believe that he would be back eventually, but not within the six-week time frame, you know, for the little hiatus that he took. So I was actually surprised by the announcement that that he had resigned.
I was looking at it cynically, Chris, because he took this 6 weeks hiatus, and almost immediately after he went on hiatus, people at Mars Hill started losing their jobs. And, you know, the cynic in me said, you know, he's still working from home.
Yeah, in fact, that's absolutely the case. And on top of that, I mean, if you remember during that time, there were nine pastors who wrote a letter basically, you know, calling, you know, for Mark to step down and for the right thing to happen. And no sooner did that letter get leaked out to the internet and to the media that one of them disappeared off the payroll, and now all nine of them, not there isn't a single one of the, those nine that are still on staff at Mars Hill. So there's a real tragedy here, and I don't want this to kind of get lost in the story, and that is that there are a bunch of people who are walking wounded after what has happened to them at Mars Hill. I mean, the famous quote from Driscoll was that that there's a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus, and he said, by the grace of God, there'll be a mountain. And, well, you know, true to his word, there is now a mountain of dead bodies, and Mark Driscoll is now the pinnacle, apex, top of that pile of that mountain of dead bodies. And he, along with everybody else, they're all, in a real sense, the walking wounded. Nobody has come out of this unscathed, unhurt, and unharmed. And my concern in reading Driscoll's resignation letter is there's still kind of a bit of defiance in him and not a lot of humble repentance. And so I'm still very concerned for him, as well as for the literally thousands of people who've been hurt by his abusive behavior as a pastor.
I want to talk about the contents of his letter in a minute, but review it for us. Someone says, you know, I just heard about this Mark Driscoll character. I've seen him all over the internet, and he was something of a sensation. I've seen his books in Christian bookstores and things like that. My pastor reads all his books and thinks he hung the moon. Bring us up to speed. How did it get to the point where yesterday Driscoll had to resign?
Well, Driscoll, you have to understand, was one of these gentlemen who were he was literally put forward by Christian book publishers, by people like Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, and others. He was one of these young, restless leaders who are all part of, at the beginning, what was called the emerging church movement. You know, this cutting-edge way of doing church in a way that's relevant for people who are postmodern in their thinking and worldview. And Driscoll clearly early on exemplified himself as somebody who can, in a way, kind of wow a crowd. He had a really angry edge to him. He became known as the cussing pastor, and so, but he would always point to the numbers of people who were being baptized and how quickly his church was growing as some kind of exoneration for the things that he was doing. And so he became one of the leaders who founded the Acts 29 Church Planting Network, and was, you know, aggressive and non-apologetic in being who he was. But all of this, you know, under the opinion that what he was doing was to, you know, further the kingdom of God and to make Jesus more known and a celebrity, if you would. And so he gathered around him basically a bunch of young people who were dissatisfied with the traditional way of doing church, and they were dead set on, you know, on kind of forging this new way of doing things. And he literally was one of the top, I would say top three guys in this movement, if not the top, for a very long time. And that actually kind of played into the problems that we had as moral shortcomings and failings became known. You know, for instance, his abuse of his sheep, a pile of dead bodies, his using church funds to buy his way onto the New York Times bestseller list, his involvement in trying to pass off the non-Trinitarian modalist T.D. Jakes, and also Word of Faith, televangelist as a mainstream Christian at Elephant Room 2. The list goes on and on, to his plagiarism scandal. All of these things were breaking, and because of the fact that he was a celebrity and so well-known, I think a lot of people felt that he was too important to allow to fail, and as a result of it, you know, these scandals really have been washing over Mars Hill Church for years now, but really increasing in intensity over the past year, and finally culminating in his resignation. But he should have resigned and taken out of ministry years ago, not today.
On top of that, at least according to the RNS story, money problems at Mars Hill. How big of a factor do you think that is? And we're not talking about small money problems. We're talking about in the order of, you know, close to $1 million a month short of a pretty big budget. How much of a factor do you think that was in him saying, I quit?
It's a little difficult to speculate, but the idea is that in his resignation letter, Driscoll really hinted at the fact that his continuing presence at Mars Hill would continue to be something that would be a distraction. Mars Hill, I think at the moment, there are three Mars Hill satellite campuses that are on sale. They've got commercial real estate brokers who are trying to sell off their assets as a means of shoring up their financial situation. And so I think the stark reality is that Driscoll's continued presence there and the sheer weight and magnitude of the controversies that have hit Mars Hill, it's created a situation where if he stayed on board, I mean, that they have a greater chance of permanently defaulting and there not being a Mars Hill than if he were to resign. So I think that played into his decision in part, but it was not really mentioned in his resignation letter.
He's kind of worked his way toward this. He tried kind of semi-apologies, then something closer to something closer to an apology. He tried saying, okay, I'm going to step down temporarily. Do you think all along he's attempting, by fits and starts, to make all this go away without really admitting what he'd been accused of?
Yeah, and I think that his actions bear that out. The one thing I've noticed in as somebody who's been a careful student of watching Mark Driscoll, over the years, is that Driscoll has a personal problem with coming right out and confessing his sin. And that's actually part and parcel of the problem with Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll and his theology, is that this is, as much as he tries to make Jesus famous, he has a problem with doing what Scripture tells us to do, to confess our sins, because God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so in the celebrity pastor mold that he's forged for himself, he's put himself in a situation that in reality has put his soul at risk, because he is not able to be honest with himself and with others and call his sin a sin. And that's really the tragedy in all of this, is that even in his resignation letter, he points to the fact that the people who were investigating him, who were primarily made up of people who were hand chosen by Driscoll, that they didn't find anything, that he hadn't done anything immoral or illegal or had taught heresy. Well, my question is that really? Let's talk about whether or not it was immoral for them to use church tithe money in order to buy Driscoll's way onto the New York Times bestseller list. Tell me it wasn't. It didn't break Scripture's command regarding what we're to do with false teachers when he gave the right hand of fellowship to T.D. Jakes. So what they're basically doing is they've given Driscoll an out without him having to admit or confess to any wrongdoing, which in a sense makes him a martyr, makes him a victim rather than the perpetrator of many, many sins in this particular case. And my big concern is actually for Driscoll at this point. If he really is believing that he's leaving in a way that he's a victim and his actions have been exonerated, then he's in dire danger, because he has not come to grips with the magnitude of his sin, the people that he's hurt, and the people who've literally left the church permanently and will never darken the door of a church again because of the abuse they've suffered at his hand and his leadership team. So this is really a tragic situation with his resignation. I don't see anything to rejoice over in it.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the resignation of Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill Church in Seattle. When we come back, we'll get Chris's response to this. He alluded to it just a moment ago. In his resignation letter, Driscoll writes, "During this process, there have been no charges of criminal activity, immorality, or heresy, any of which could clearly be grounds for disqualification from pastoral ministry." So he's saying, "I'm quitting, but I'm still qualified to be a pastor." We'll see what Chris Roseborough thinks about that on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking with Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, about Mark Driscoll's resignation as both an elder and the lead pastor at the mega church in Seattle called Mars Hill Church. Let's see what Herman has to say. He is on the line from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Thank you. Pastor Roseborough, would you say that in this example of Mark Driscoll having come on the scene in the emergent church movement as a young man with his bag of approaches and techniques is now a burnt out and falling star and would be replaced by some other young personality who's got a new twisting bag of tricks to put forth in this?
Good question, Herman. Thank you very much. What do you think, Chris?
That is a good question. I don't know, because I can tell you this. Some of the guys who've left Mars Hill are pretty respectable men, and I've had the opportunity to speak with several of them over the phone. And the sad part is the guys I would consider to be ones who have integrity, who really should be the ones who to be considered to replace Mark Driscoll, they're no longer there. They left long ago on, you know, for good reasons and on biblical grounds. And so I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, if they were to try to find some up and coming young person, you know, to kind of mold him into the next Mark Driscoll, mega church celebrity star, I think that's going to be hard to do. Driscoll was, in some senses, kind of a force of nature and one who stood out with his own way of doing things. I find it very difficult to believe that they can find somebody like that to replace him. And instead, I think, for the foreseeable future, I think every Mars Hill campus that exists or, you know, that remains is going to have difficulty paying their bills. It's going to take some time for them to financially right the ship, and I don't know how many campuses they're going to lose before that happens.
Now, he does explicitly respond to assertions that had been made by a group of former pastors/elders of Mars Hill that he has disqualified himself for pastoral ministry in general, not just disqualified himself to work at Mars Hill because he's too divisive, which he admits to. But he says in the letter, he says, during this process, there have been no charges of criminal activity, immorality, or heresy, any of which could clearly be grounds for disqualification from pastoral ministry. What are your thoughts there, Chris?
That's a pretty selective and limited list, and it's not a complete list. when you look at the biblical qualifications for a pastor, part of the qualifications is that he cannot be domineering. And so for him to somehow limit the list of things that would disqualify him from pastoral ministry to only immorality, illegality, or heresy, that is not a complete list, and I find it very fascinating and telling that he's not speaking the truth regarding, you know, the complete list that Scripture gives for those who are qualified to be pastors.
He also spent the better part of his 18 years there, except with the exception of this last year, cultivating what I call the image of the bad boy pastor. And he's not the only one. In fact, a lot of people are with Mark Driscoll in this respect. There are a lot of either they're Mark Driscoll wannabes or they're trying to create their own bad boy pastor image. What are your thoughts there?
Well, the question I have is, since when did it become a pastoral qualification to be a bad boy? When I read Scripture, it's the exact opposite of that. You know, God's Word makes it clear it's not bad boys who are to be pastors. It's men who are able to set a Christ-like example, who parent their children properly, are good husbands, faithful husbands, able to give instruction in sound doctrine, rebuke those who contradict it, and whose lives are exemplary. They're not known for being drunkards or violent or greedy for gain or any of these things. And so what I find fascinating is that the pragmatic American evangelical megachurch believes that if they can just somehow disconnect themselves from the complete package of what Scripture requires regarding the qualifications of a pastor, we can make a church grow because we're being edgy and we're giving the world what they want. But instead, what they're really doing is they're feeding people sinful nature. And the thing that they're in rebellion against, if you think about the idea of being a bad boy, what are they being bad against? What are they rebelling against? They're rebelling against God's Word. This is a form of apostasy. And, of course, the Greek word apostasia means rebellion anyways. It means rebellion, a revolution, a revolt, and against all forms of authority. In this case, they're revolting and rebelling against the authority of the Word of God and God to determine who is qualified and not qualified to be a pastor. This whole idea of a bad boy pastor, it's not biblical on its face. And all you have to do is read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
A couple general questions, and one of them was kind of raised by Herman when he called earlier. The big question that looms for everybody, if you had to answer the question right now, how would you prognosticate, does Mars Hill, as it's currently comprised, does it survive the exit of Mark Driscoll?
If I had to guess, I would say no. My guess would be 1 to 3 Mars Hill campuses will somehow remain intact. The remaining ones are going to either break away and form their own congregations or be sold off. They're going to experience a major financial compression, and in order to right the ship, they've got to sell off assets. And then the question is, who's going to stay? Because as Mark Driscoll famously said in a leadership meeting not too long ago, he is the brand at Mars Hill. This is what he's said, and his leadership, people who are formerly on his leadership team have made this clear that these were his sentiments. And so if Mark Driscoll really was the brand at Mars Hill, then without Mark Driscoll, there is no Mars Hill brand, and it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
You've pointed out many times in our conversations, as we've updated the story over the last couple months, that Mark Driscoll fashioned himself, and not only fancied himself, but presented himself rather successfully as a pastor to pastors. Even if he had not gotten into trouble with his plagiarism, with misusing church funds to get a bestseller spot, even if he weren't out there, you know, being kind of lewd in public speaking, things like that, and basically being a bully to the leadership of his church and to his congregation, was there still a problem with Mark Driscoll and his theology being a pastor to pastors?
That is a... if you're going to be a pastor to pastors, you need to be exemplify what it means to be a pastor. So it's kind of hard to disconnect Driscoll from this. And so the idea is that Driscoll's one of these guys who've created what I call shadow denominations or shadow synods. And the idea is that these are, you know, pan-denominational pastoral training networks where there's the people who are in power, they're not elected. They're kind of self-propelled. They've got claimed to have these visions from God. And so the whole idea of Driscoll promoting himself as a pastor to pastors is actually extremely problematic. And beware of the church networks that, you know, with vision-casting leaders who are out there, you know, claiming that they're going to help energize your church and coach your pastor, because these are networks that operate outside of synodical or denominational structures. There is no accountability, and the guys who are promoting themselves in this fashion, they are extremely dangerous and theologically suspect, especially since they're claiming to be receiving direct revelation and visions from God as to how to model their church and what they're supposed to be doing.
You said your biggest concern was for Mark Driscoll himself. What did you mean by that with about a minute?
My big concern is Mark Driscoll's own soul, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we all stand before Christ in judgment. And my concern is that what has gotten lost in all of the scandals is the forgiveness of sins and the fact that Christ has bled and died for every person that Mark Driscoll has thrown under the bus, and that there's forgiveness for that. And rather than speaking the truth and saying the same thing as God's word, that what he did was a sin and that he sinned against God and sinned against those whom Christ has put into his care, instead he leaves basically saying, I did nothing wrong. My concern is that he goes to his grave believing this falseness that he's put forward, and is rather than repent and truly be forgiven for what he's done. That is my big concern, because I don't desire that anybody would go into eternity without being forgiven of their sins.
Chris, what's lined up for the listeners for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Tonight we're going to be listening to a lecture that I gave on the book of Genesis. I've been doing a series called Roseboro's Ramblings Through Genesis, and we're going to be talking about God speaking the worlds into existence today.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseboro and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour from now at PirateChristianRadio.com, all one word, PirateChristianRadio.com. Chris Roseboro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
I had the opportunity when I was speaking down in Plano, Texas, over the last couple of days, to mention a couple articles from the Issues, Etc. journal that I'd written in the past, and people curious about the journal asking how to subscribe. The latest edition of the Issues, Etc. journal is out. It contains an article, part one of an article that I've written called Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and part two is coming in the forthcoming edition of the journal, I promise. There's also a Wittenberg Trail feature there in the latest edition of the journal by Dennis McFadden, who began and remained a Baptist pastor for the better part of 60 years and now has found his way to the Lutheran Confession of Faith. Subscribe to the Issues, Etc. journal. Click the big red button at issuesetc.org. Enter your email address, and we will send it to you absolutely free. When we come back, we'll talk about Houston, Texas, and sermons being subpoenaed. Stay tuned. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.